This is your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, and you are listening to Season 5 of the Floor Rejects podcast, The Isle of Artemisia. Welcome back to the Floor Rejects podcast. If you're new here, every week I read to you a segment of a story, a chapter usually, of whatever I'm working on. Last week was chapter 10 of The Isle of Artemisia, in which we saw Barret and Anaxos go on a mission to save Nick, Daniel, and Crystal from the others. It was successful, but when they fled, they couldn't go back to Anaxos's hut on the beach because, of course, the others would come looking for them, and Anaxos was pretty gravely injured. So that's what you missed. Now you're caught up, and let's get into chapter 11. Chapter 11. Trust. Barret, wake up. Barret hears, and he realizes that he had indeed fallen asleep, leaning up against the wall of the cave. Anaxos stood, or stooped rather, in front of him. The man shook with the effort of simply standing upright, but upright he stood, shaking Barret by the shoulder. X, what are you doing? Barret asks, coming out of his stupor quickly. I saw you sleeping. I needed to check on you, Anaxos says, his body wavering. Barret reaches out, pulling him to lay against the cave wall. He was obviously struggling with his injury, his arm clutched tight to his body. You should be resting. I'll stay awake this time, I promise, Barret says, and Anaxos smiles. Can't sleep. Too much pain, the man says, from his place on the floor of the cave. Well, I'll keep you company then, Barret tells him, sliding down the wall to sit next to Anaxos, who is still quivering. You don't have to. I'm just hurting. I will be fine, he says, and Barret nods, not moving from his place. I will stay with you, but tell me something, though, Barret begins, a thought occurring to him. Anaxos looks at him to continue. Why did you lead us here? Barret asks, and Anaxos laughs bitterly. This is a sacred place to them. This is the water that feeds the plant. They will not come here, Anaxos explains, gesturing around the area, which was rather picturesque, but still sinister, knowing it was special to the others. How do you know that? How long were you with them? Barret questions. I was with them for a short time, but they love this area. He struggles for the right words. Worship it? Like God, yes? Barret finishes the statement, and Anaxos nods. How do you deal with them? Don't they bother you? Barret asks, and Anaxos smiles. They did, and I sent them away, he explains. Again, he laughs at the memory of it. But you must have rescued others before me, Barret asks. Anaxos shakes his head. You were the first. Your fight is not like the others, like your friends. You do not give in, Anaxos says heavily. Barret could tell that he was tired. He doesn't ask any more questions, and before long a weight falls onto his shoulder. He looks over and he finds that Anaxos has fallen asleep, his head down on Barret's chest. Barret doesn't dare move. The man had suffered enough. He sits still, remembering for a moment what his life was like. He lays his head back against the rocky wall and daydreams. He daydreams one of his last good moments, that he was back in his apartment, back in the warm, cream-colored walls, basking in sunlight and but cooled by central air. In his daydream, his laptop lums from his lap, and he looks down, seeing that it was time to clock out from work for the day. He does so with glee, and just as he does, the front door opens. Mark walks in, a sweet smile on his face as he catches sight of Barret curled up on the peeling old leather couch they'd inherited from his parents. Hi, love, the man greets, coming to sit down on Barret's lap, giggling as they kiss gently. Hello, how was your day? Barret asks him, and Mark groans, rolling his eyes. You know Deborah? She was a real witch today. I just about had to cuss her out, he says, pulling his tie out from around his neck. Barret kisses him there at the base of his throat, and Mark laughs. He kisses Barret back on the top of his head. Well, I am sorry, Mark. Let's have dinner. Maybe that'll make you feel better. What do you want? Barret asks, and the two settle on the local Indian restaurant. They order delivery, and as they wait, Mark goes to shower. Barrett lays out on the couch, his body warming in the last rays of light. He smiles through the daydream and in his real life as he begins to come out of it. But his subconscious fights, and so he returns, his smile being replaced by a devilish look as Mark comes out of the bathroom in his daydream. He has a towel wrapped loosely around his waist, his slight chest rising and falling as he stares at Barrett. "How long until the food gets here?" he asks. Barrett knows where this is going. He glances at his phone. 30 minutes, Barrett says, already pulling his shirt over his head. Mark walks towards him, his towel falling away as he straddles Barrett. "Come here," Barrett murmurs, kissing Mark deeply. "Barrett," Barrett hears, and at first he thinks it's Mark. "Bear," he hears again, and his eyes open in real life, and Daniel is staring down at him. "Can we talk?" Daniel asks. "Yeah, 1 second," Barrett says, and carefully he shifts so that Anaxos leans against the cave and not him. He then follows Daniel towards the river, right near where the place where water began to rush downhill. "Man, I am so sorry. I don't know how to tell you how sorry I am. I was so wrong. Crystal was missing, and Nick, I thought wrong. I'm sorry. I should have told you yesterday, but everything was so hectic and crazy," Daniel says, kicking the wet dirt at his feet. Barrett smiles. He knows his friend had a hard time coming clean about his feelings. He always had, as long as they'd known each other. "It's okay, Dee. I get it. It was awful, but at least we're alive," Barrett says. "For now," Daniel qualifies, and Barrett smiles. "It's fine. Anaxos says they won't come here," Barrett tells Daniel, who scoffs. "And how does he know?" Daniel asks. Well, he just does. He's been here a long time," Barrett says, not willing to have a discussion that unbelievable with Daniel. But that does spark a thought in him. He abandons Daniel, rushing back to Anaxos. X, where does it grow?" he asks, excited by his idea. "What?" Anaxos questions, rolling off the wall and looking confusedly up at Barrett. "Where does the plant grow?" he asks. He knew he could use it to instantly solve one of their biggest problems. Anaxos catches on after a moment, but he shakes his head. "Too dangerous. I will go," he says. But now it's Barrett's turn to shake his head. "No, you're hurt too badly. I will go get it," he says. And Anaxos again shakes his head, but this time he flinches in pain. Barrett squats to look at him on his level. "Anaxos, you have to let me help you. You need it, and I can get the plant for you," Barrett presses. Anaxos groans as pain rolls through him. Reluctantly, he nods. "Follow the river. Where it falls off, the plant grows. It grows at the edge of the river. Take someone with you to look out," he instructs, and as if on command, Nick steps out from a darker part of the cave. "I will come," he says, and Barrett smiles at him. "You don't even know what for." Barrett is confused, and Nick shrugs. "You say you need plant. I will help look," he says. "Good," Anaxos returns, and he lays back against the wall, obviously needing more rest, as Barrett and Nick trek out of the cave, past Daniel, who looks at them with mild concern but doesn't say anything, instead going back into the cave. "Why do you need plant?" Nick asks after a while. Barrett doesn't break his stride, determined to get to the plant and get it back to Anaxos as soon as possible. "It helps heal. It will help Anaxos," Barrett says. Nick makes a small sound, digesting the information. "How do you know him?" Nick asks, and Barrett turns to look at him. "He pulled me out of the water. He saved me," Barrett tells the Greek man, who looks at him strangely. "Come on," Barrett hurries, and together they rush through the underbrush, following the river until they come upon a breathtaking sight. The river runs off the edge of a sheer cliff, and beyond that cliff was the sea, shimmering and undulating in front of them beautifully. The sun blinds them as it bounces off the water. Barrett looks around, and just when he thinks he might have spotted it, Nick taps him on the shoulder. "Here," he says, pointing down at a bush full of the plant. Barrett laughs, ripping it up unceremoniously and pockets it. Then a thought occurs to him. "Nick, how did you know? No, the plant, I mean," Barrett asks, a bit of suspicion in his voice. Nick shrugs, and then after a moment he smiles as if the idea had just come to him. I saw them eating it at the camp. They ate the plant, he says, and Barrett nods, the suspicion not out of his mind, but the explanation making sense. Let's get back, Barrett says, and as he turns his head the way they had come, Nick has him by the arm, spinning towards him. They collide, and then, before Barrett can say anything, their mouths come crashing down together. The kiss is hard and sloppy, and Barrett is so surprised he doesn't fight it for a moment, getting lost in the feeling of a man against him before he pulls away, wiping his mouth in shock. What the hell, Nick? He yelps, putting distance between them. You do not want to kiss me? Nick asks, and Barrett, still confused, looks at him incredulously. Okay, he says, pushing past Barrett and marching back up the river towards their encampment. Seriously? Barrett mumbles, following in a cloud of tension. The walk back is silent, neither of them speaking a word. Barrett, on his part, was upset about the abruptness of the kiss. Sure, he found the man attractive enough, but it was a hard shock to his system to be in that sort of physical space with a man. He would have reacted differently had the timing been right, but there, on a mountain, lost at sea, tired and hungry, it was too much. Barrett shakes the feeling off as the walk progresses, and before he could think to address the issue, they're back at camp. I need the plant, Nick, Barrett says, and Nick tosses it at him tightly, his entire body radiating the awkwardness of what had happened. Cool, Barrett groans, hurrying now to Anaxos. The man lay flat out on the ground, his body quivering every so often. He was pale, almost green in the dim light of the cave. Anaxos, hey, get up, he says, helping the man to sit against the wall. Did you get it? Anaxos whispers, his voice hoarse. Barrett shivers. Nick passes behind them, heading deeper into the cave. Yes, here, should I just... Barrett gestures as if to smash the leaves up and make a paste, but Anaxos snatches him by the hand, pulling him close, his lips just a few inches from the younger man's ear. Do not trust that one. He is a liar, Anaxos hisses, and Barrett is confused for the second time that day. Nick? No, I mean, he's a little strange, but... Barrett begins, leaning away from Anaxos, but quickly he's pulled back. I do not know what it is, but he is lying, Anaxos insists, and Barrett nods, his own seeds of doubt planted in Nick, but for different reasons. Okay, okay. Now let's get you fixed up, Barrett says, and Anaxos takes the plant from him, setting it on his lap. He gestures for Barrett to unwrap his arm, who does so reluctantly, not happy to hear his friend groan and twist in pain. The cut on his forearm was sealed over, no longer weeping or bleeding. His chest, however, was horrifying. Barrett could see the layers of muscle that had been shorn. It was a miracle he was still alive. What now? Barrett asks, and Anaxos responds by picking up the plant in his good hand and mashing it quickly so that its juice ran through his fingers, and he slaps it onto the cut on his shoulder. Then he moans loudly, and as Crystal and Daniel and Nick come rushing from the depths of the cave towards the sound, Anaxos writhes against the cave wall, his body convulsing and his mouth foaming. Jesus, Barrett, what happened? Daniel asks, rushing to Anaxos' side, trying to still him as his body bounces and shakes. Nothing. He just started doing that. We were just getting to the... Barrett begins, but then the shaking and convulsing stops, and after a moment, Anaxos leans up, smiling. He wipes the plant away from his shoulder, and the deep wound is gone, not even a scar left. He wipes it down his arm, rubbing at the other cut for just a moment before it disappears, as if being reabsorbed by the skin around it. Barrett smiles, and Daniel stares open-mouthed. How did you do that? He was torn up yesterday. I saw it. I saw it. Barrett laughs as Daniel says this, and then a minute of heavy silence hangs in the air. Crystal leans in closer to examine Anaxos' chest while Nick seems to shy back, away from the group. Crystal doesn't say anything. Nick doesn't either. This plant, it heals people. It makes them live forever. That's why they're here. I wanted to tell you guys yesterday, but I knew you wouldn't believe me. It's impossible, I know, Barrett says, and Crystal begins to laugh to herself quietly at first, but letting it grow louder. You're fucking kidding me, she cries, her laughing echoing through the cave as she stands up and walks away, standing by herself at the edge of the river, some distance away. Daniel's still pawing at Anaxos' shoulder, checking for seams, scars, or some sort of trick. When he comes up empty, he turns to look at Barrett. How? He murmurs, clearly dumbstruck, Barrett smiles, but when he turns around, he can see Nick scowling at him. As Daniel begins to furiously question Anaxos, Barrett moves towards Nick, intending to apologize, but Nick brushes past him, going out to Crystal, who now sat by the water, staring out emptily at it. She was in shock. She had already been through much more than Barrett could imagine in the last few days, and now she was seeing miracles happen? It was a lot, Barrett knew, and he hadn't spent days locked in a hole in the ground, unsure whether he would live or die. The five of them spent the rest of the day doing much of the same. Crystal and Nick sat by the river, talking quietly. Daniel spent the next hour talking nonstop at Anaxos, and then another hour listening as Anaxos told him everything he knew about the island. As for Barrett, the man kept to himself, letting Anaxos and Daniel talk, giving Nick his space. He just sat watching his friends, happy to see them alive and together again. Then his stomach growls and Anaxos laughs in the distance. "Hungry?" he asks Barrett, who nods. "I will catch his food before it gets too late. I'll go," he says. "Can I come with? I have so many more questions," Daniel borderline pleads, and Anaxos shakes his head. "Too dangerous. You will get caught. I know my ways around them," Anaxos says, and he jumps up, re-energized as if by magic. He goes bounding off into the woods, and then, on cue, all three of his remaining friends turn to look at Barrett. "What the hell is going on, Bear?" Daniel asks. Crystal stands and dusts herself off, and she comes back into the cave, Nick in tow. "Yeah, I need some answers," she says, and Barrett sighs, knowing at some point he had to recount his story, his rather lighthearted version of the past few days to them. They gather, and without preamble he starts, from the moment he found Crystal in her trance to the moment he entered the camp of the others. He doesn't tell them about seeing Anaxos in the buff or about the love letter in the trunk, but everything else he lays out in detail. At the end of the story, they all stare at him. "So you're supposed to believe that this guy knows everything about these others? About some magical plant?" Crystal asks, and Barrett gulps. He didn't really have a good answer. Anaxos didn't seem like a liar, and the others were certainly much worse. "Yeah, I guess he could have let me drown out there, but he didn't. I think he's okay," Barrett says, and Crystal shrugs, rolling her neck as if to give herself a moment to think. "Fine, I guess there are magic plants now," she says, and Daniel looks at her almost annoyed. "Chris, this is a total medical game changer. You realize that, right?" he says, and she begins to walk away. "The only thing I care about is getting home," she says, walking back out towards the river. Nick follows, and Daniel pulls Barrett aside, leaning in close. "There's something wrong with her. I don't know what, but I know she's been different since you pulled us out of the ground," Daniel says, and Barrett nods. He had noticed. She was much less bubbly and personable than normal, but Barrett supposed that was normal for anyone in their situation. He shrugs it off, and instead of dwelling on it, he curls up in a ball on the sandy floor of the cave and falls asleep, already so tired so early in the day. What do I like about this chapter? Well, I like that we get more interaction between Anaxos and Barrett's other friends. I like that we get a little bit more spice in this chapter. A lot happens in this chapter. We get the explanation of how Anaxos magically heals himself, and the explanation as to why he's there and how long he's been there. All of that happens in this chapter to these other three. I like that Daniel kind of immediately gravitates towards Anaxos the same way you would hope any of your friends would like gravitate towards your other friends. But I like that we've got the juxtaposition of Crystal kind of shying away from all of it. I think that her reaction is honestly the same reaction I would have, which is, I could care less about some stupid magical plant, just get me off of this island. Instead of being like, this is a medical miracle, oh my god, I can't believe it. Like, shut up, we need to get home, you know? I kind of get that sort of thought process. So I feel like it makes sense. To me, it makes sense the way that she's reacting. I like that the seeds of doubt are kind of planted in Nick in this chapter. Like, Barrett has his own suspicions about Nick, but they're different suspicions than Anaxos has. And Daniel's got suspicions about Crystal. He says she's not the same as she was. And I like that there's a lot of tension in that. It's not like, oh, everyone's back together, everybody's happy. Now, instead of Daniel being mad at Barrett, he's confiding in Barrett that something's wrong with Crystal, when before he was mad at Barrett because Crystal was missing. And Anaxos doesn't trust Nick, and Nick is being weird and acting strangely towards Barrett and also kind of Crystal at the same time, the way he follows her around. And Crystal is just kind of like over all of it and couldn't give less of a fuck about what's happening. So I like all of that. I think all of it is good. I think that's a good part of the story, that we're starting to plant several different seeds of doubt in several different people. And Barrett, our main character, is kind of looking around like, who do I trust? Who is still a trustworthy person? Who can I turn to? And right now, it kind of seems like Anaxos and Daniel are his best bets, but Anaxos doesn't trust Nick, and Nick is just a weirdo, and Daniel doesn't trust Crystal, and Crystal doesn't really trust Anaxos. None of them really trust this story. Like, they've just seen this magical thing happen, but they don't really trust what's going on. And so I like that. I also like this is gonna sound weird. I like the abruptness of which Nick kind of turns on a dime and is like, now I'm gonna kiss Barrett again. Because why not try again when he didn't really react well the first time? Why not try it again? And to me, it reads two different ways. And the way that it's supposed to be read is kind of like, well, it reads, I'll let you decide. It reads one way of just like a clueless man attracted to men or man attracted to anything that moves type of person. Just kissing whoever he feels like kissing in that moment. And while I don't particularly love that idea, it's the simplistic explanation. The more complicated one, or the more relevant one to this, is the same way that some people will use their sexuality to endear themselves to people. And that's kind of what Nick is actually doing. I'm not going to give anything away, but Nick is doing all of this to try and endear himself to Barrett and endear himself to Crystal. He doesn't really have a way to endear himself to Daniel, but, you know, he can kind of pick up what Barrett's putting down, if you know what I mean, and is kind of playing with that in the same way that he's playing with Crystal sometimes and kind of playing to whatever she needs. And I think he thinks he's playing to what Barrett needs, but Barrett is not interested in that right now. He's interested in getting home and getting a toothbrush in his mouth, you know? Which, by the way, I really was like, I couldn't be stranded on a desert island because I wouldn't have a toothbrush or toothpaste. What are you supposed to do with your teeth when they're all nasty? You know what I mean? I don't know. I was just thinking about that, and I thought, that seems horrible to just not have a toothbrush or toothpaste. I guess you don't have to be stranded on a desert island for that to happen, but that's a whole nother discussion. You know what I mean? Sorry, I have the hiccups. I have the hiccups, the hickeys. Ooh, not the hickeys. Some things that I think I could work on in this chapter. Repeating words. I always need to work on that. I need to get better about it. Like I told you last week, I started a new job. I haven't really had a whole lot of time to be writing and working on my craft. And so some of it has fallen by the wayside, but I'm still trying to like bring you a chapter every week and at least bring you some sort of entertainment or some furthering of this story that you're following along with me, with. Yeah, that's right. Some other things I think could be done better. I like the pacing of this chapter. It moves pretty quickly, but it also moves really slowly. Like they do a lot of stuff in one day. But also I feel like it feels like the day is supposed to be over, but then at the end of the chapter, Barrett is curling up and going to sleep, and he's like, oh, well, it's so early in the day, and I'm already falling asleep. You know what I mean? Like, the time seems a little off. Like, he's daydreaming at one point, and then he wakes up, and you would think that, like, time had passed, but maybe it hasn't. I don't know. It just seems a little odd to me. Like, I mean, I wrote it, so it shouldn't seem odd, but it does seem a little odd to me the way that it paces out at the end of the chapter. Something I did like was, I've already said this, but the way that Anaxos is suspicious of Nick, he like grabs Barrett and he's like, "Don't trust him." I really like that. I like that imagery. I think it's strong imagery. Do you hear my chinchilla just digging? Klaus. Klaus. Stop it. I'm coming over there. Here I come. Oh, you don't want me to come over there. He's digging. He's making noise just to embarrass me in front of company. What was I saying? What was I saying? I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know. It's been a long week for me. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. It's been a long week for me. Like I told you, I started this new job and it's going okay. It's really fast paced and it's a lot of thinking. And by the end of the day, I kind of don't want to think anymore. And writing requires. Can you hear that? Let me go talk to him for a second. I'm just gonna go talk to him. I just want to talk. It's been a long week for me, and it's only Wednesday. God, it's only Wednesday. So I'm a little tired, and I've got this chinchilla here, and I'm still trying to deal with the fact that he's so noisy. Do you have anything to say? He's got nothing interesting to say. So I'm having a hard time kind of adapting to this new work style and all of that, and then try and still be working on being creative and like balancing writing and drawing and all the things I want to do. It's hard, you know? But I appreciate you guys sticking along with me and going on this journey with me. I haven't really put too much of my personal life out onto this podcast. I did for a while, and then I thought that that was not what people wanted. I thought people wanted like just the story, and then who are you to tell me about your day? It's not very interesting. You're just a random guy in Kentucky. And that's true. I am. But everyone that listens to it is kind of like, hey, why don't you give us some personality, girl? We're tired of just hearing the story. And so I figured at the end of every analysis that I give, maybe give a 5, 10 minute analysis of the chapter, I can kind of talk about my day, talk about what's going on in my day. Do you see this? Do you see this chinchilla? If you're just listening, you can watch on YouTube and you'll get to see a chinchilla poop on my arm. But I've just been having a hard time. I've been tired. I've been really struggling with creative energy and like having enough energy to do what I need to do in the day and like take care of myself at the same time. And I just feel like I haven't been doing that properly. So I'm doing my best. But as always, I appreciate you listening or watching. I promise it's going to get better. I'm just going through a little bit of a hard time right now. But it'll get better. I'm going to do better and work harder on my chapters, and hopefully you'll stick around for them to get better. I'll be back next week with a new chapter of the Isle of Artemisia with our little characters, Barrett and Daniel and Crystal and Nick and Anaxos and the others. But until then, stay sexy. Do something to support the Black Lives Matter movement this week. I haven't mentioned it in a while because I kind of felt like I talked too much about it and was using that as an excuse to like not do anything about it, you know? And so I kind of stepped back from talking about it so I could be about it, if that makes sense. But do something for the Black Lives Matter movement, you know? There's still a lot to be done. Do something to combat Asian American or just any sort of anti-Asian hate. That's been horrible in the wake of the coronavirus, of course. And we've kind of all, I think, collectively reached exhaustion on what it is we have the will to deal with. But some people don't have that luxury, and it's hard
to balance that with feeling like you're already overwhelmed, but knowing someone else is more overwhelmed. I don't know how to explain it, but do something, even if it's just educating yourself on something this week. Do something that educates yourself this week. I think that's a good challenge. That's a good thing to get yourself restarted into keeping yourself awake and keeping yourself motivated and learning and growing and dealing with all this shit that the world drops on us every day. But either way, I'll be back next week. Klaus, do you have anything to say? Cool. We'll be back next week. He'll be back digging through scraps, and I'll be back with another chapter from the Isle of Artemisia. Oh my god, he's nibbling on my ear. Okay, bye.